I had a chance to see Willie Nelson a week ago. He was at the House of Blues in Las Vegas, and figured I heard him play this song, The Nightlife, and thought that's a good coast to coast song. I'm sending it out to a couple of listening parties. One is underway, I know, in Joshua Tree, another in the UK countryside, people listening to the program, and for all of us. I mean, it works for us, that song, because we're all night owls, aren't we? Those who of us who listen to this program. We're shifting gears now a bit. A couple of months ago, an article caught my eye. It mentioned a figure of dread that I'd never heard of before, the Hat Man. We're all familiar with the Men in Black, of course. We all remember stories that emerged last year about something called Slender Man. We know about Batman and Iron Man, but Hat Man, what the heck is that all about? And as I delved into this, some very familiar connections emerged, the so-called shadow people, possible connections to aliens and abductions, and a host of other creatures of the night, the kind of beings we pursue in the wee hours here on Coast to Coast. I realize the author and speaker Heidi Hollis has done other interviews about the Hat Man and the company he keeps, but since her book was released, but I wanted to hear it for myself. In a moment, we jump right into the thick of it, the Hat Man, the true story of evil encounters. Buckle up, back in a moment. Welcome back to the program. My next guest, Heidi Hollis, sort of came to prominence in this sort of the world of the paranormal by writing about something known as the shadow people. And since then, she's spoken all over the world. She's got her own radio show called The Outlander. She's written a couple of very well received books, and we're happy to welcome her back to the program. Heidi, good to have you here.
Well, my goodness, it's awesome to finally get a chance to talk to you.
Yeah, I think I'm really looking forward to it. I mean, this title, bam, Hat Man, that just jumped right out at me. That's a grabber. You must have known it right off the bat. Right?
Well, I wanted to keep it direct.
The book is written, it's fun. It's obviously you take these topics seriously, but it's not so over the top serious that it fails to be fun. And you even note that early in the book, you said something to the effect of, for some people, that spells I don't take it seriously as needed. But you do.
Yeah, definitely. I always say to people, it's like if I want to clear a room, I know how to do that by just sharing a few of the thousands of emails and stories that I've received and heard over the years. But if I want to, have somebody be more curious and ask questions and be inquisitive, I treat it like any other topic, as humanly flawed as possible, with a touch of humor and, just dealing with it like, humans do deal with these topics. And, we sure do learn a whole heck of a lot more that way than trying to, shove a flashlight under one's chin to scare people.
Well, as we learn in this book, this is not just an assignment or something for you. You've lived it. You've had a lifetime of weird experiences that sort of led you on the path. Let's start with some of your experiences as a youngster, the earliest memories of what you'd call a paranormal experience, because it leads directly to where you are now, right?
Oh, goodness. Wow. The very, very, very first thing that I recollected came back to me as a teenager. And it related to a very peculiar topic. I had to be about 6 years old, and my younger sister, she was probably about 5, 4 years old. And my mother had sent us to go upstairs to get my brother for dinner. And being pretty close in age, we were just kind of competing against each other, running up the stairs and trying to get there and to my brother's room, when out of his bedroom came a robotic toy clown. And it was kind of cool. It was like, oh, cool. We didn't have remote control back then. We're like, oh, it took a couple of steps to go play with this thing when I don't even know how to describe, but an absolute feeling of dread and horror came over us. And we turned to run from this thing. And it's not like we were, it felt like we were moving in slow motion. We were moving in slow motion. And somehow my little sister got past me and started going down the stairs before I did. And I watched her lose consciousness as she tumbled down the stairs. And I lost consciousness at the top of the stairs. And it was just the strangest thing. I mean, my mother picked up my sister at the bottom of the stairs, didn't say anything, didn't ask us any questions. I woke up at the top of the stairs, I don't know how much time later, And it was as if it just never happened. We didn't speak of it until 10 years later. Well, here's the memory again. I'm 16. I look to my sister. I'm like, whoa, do you remember that robotic toy clown that came after us when we were kids? And she just looked up at me with such horror in her eyes, like, I thought that was a nightmare. I'm like, no. I'm like, there's no way that we shared that same dream. I speak over there, and you draw what you saw, and I'll draw what I saw. And we both drew the same thing. And the peculiar thing with this robotic toy clown thing, it was not touching the ground. This is actually a story. I don't think I put this one in the Hat Man book.
No, but, I don't remember that.
Yeah, not this one. I just wanted to creep you out, George. How about that?
You have a line in the early in the book. You say, I've been living in the nest of the paranormal world for nearly as long as I can recall. And then you explain that from what you can tell from all the descriptions that you lived in what we would call a haunted house.
Yes.
And you knew that early on. I mean, seven or so you were?
Yes, I was seven. This was a more direct memory that I had. This was just lovely. And my mother had passed away early in the year, in about April. And by Christmas time, my father had moved in, my future stepmother. And this was Christmas morning, by the way. So we'd already opened up all of our presents. We're sitting there playing with it, me and my siblings, and myself, my two sisters, and my future stepbrother. And my stepmother had this awesome organ that she had moved into the house. And so we're sitting there playing with our toys, and my parents, my stepmother, my dad, were going to go wish others Merry Christmas, and they would be back. So we're just like, okay, you know, whatever, we're playing with our toys, we're having a good old time, when all of a sudden the organ started playing by itself. And, you know, we're just like, oh my gosh, that is the coolest thing. Me and my sisters, we get up and we look at this organ just pounding away, and we go to my stepbrother. We're like, that is so cool. How does that do that? And he is just like, you know, pale and just his jaw is open. He's like, it doesn't do that. It was so funny. It was just like a moment out of a movie. And we're just like, it just had enough time to gasp and scream and run into the nearest room that had a lock on it, which was the bathroom, of course. We all piled in there. And this organ, I mean, it wasn't like just, you know, playing a little here and there. It was pounding like, it was just crazy. And it was loud. And I had kind of a bully of a sister who was just, oh, she was such a joy at times. And so we're all standing in the bathroom. This organ is going crazy, not too far outside of the bathroom door, when my sister goes, oh, it's too crowded in here. Somebody's got to get out. And so I'm pushed out. I'm 7 years, well, 7 years old, 8 years old at the time. And I'm like, no way, you know, I'm crying. And I just like, this really just started my whole paranormal trek, I guess.
There's a long list of stuff that happened in this house, right? I mean, they convinced everyone in your family. Like what? Like, give me the laundry list.
You know, well, that night, I mean, the organ started playing. My sister's new toy started playing. And I mean, they had no batteries. We had poundings. We had scratching in the walls. There was one occasion when my stepbrother and my sister, they were hearing the poundings, and it was just coming. It just seemed to be coming from underneath the stairs. It seemed to be coming from the walls, and they're the only two home. And they locked themselves in the bathroom, and my stepbrother got sick of it and just, you know, stepped out of the bathroom at some point and said, you know, I'm not afraid of you, you know, come and take me on type of thing, when something black with red eyes went into his face and scratched his face up, you know. So my dad was convinced, you know, must be a bat loose in the house, you know, there's no bat in the house. I think perhaps that may have been the first face of shadow beings in my life. I had not seen them at that time, but you know, it's a strange thing. You know, a lot of people say, oh, well, your mother must have been in a witchcraft or something like that. That's why, you know, after she passed away, the house became haunted. And I'm like, what mother do you know would taunt and haunt their children? You know,
did stuff happen before she died in the house?
The haunting did not. The clown incident turned out to be alien related, believe it or not.
We'll come back to that. But I mean, so there was weird stuff that happened in the house before your mother died?
No, there
No.
was not. There was
Did your
not.
dad see this stuff? Any of these events that you
Oh,
described?
he admitted many years later, and we were so upset with him. We're like, how could you leave us in that horror, making us feel like we're alone and we're experiencing this stuff on our own? And he's like, are you kidding me? He's like, if I let you guys know how scared I was, there's no way you kids would have stayed in the house. He
You're
thought it was hilarious. We were just like, oh my God, Dad,
No, was your dad frightened by it at some point? Did he
Oh,
admit that
gosh.
late? Yes.
Oh, yeah, he was. He absolutely was terrorized and terrified. He actually had the worst experiences. One being one time when he was laying in his bed and his bedroom door opened by itself. And he said, he looked to see, kind of leaned forward to see who was coming in the door, thought it was one of us. And his sheets on his bed rose up and something very cold, he said, kind of draped itself right next to him, and he was absolutely paralyzed. Not from being scared, but he was unable to move. And he thinks he passed out from the horror of it all because the next thing he knew, he's waking up and, it was all gone. So I was like, wow, Dad, that's crazy. We had incidents. Yeah.
What did you say to him years later? And I can imagine at the time he was trying to calm everybody down, so he didn't give it much credence. But years later, he admits to it.
Well, my dad he's very much a jokester, really laid back type of guy. And so when he finally admitted to it, he admitted, after we're grown up, he did not admit any other time prior to that. And also brought forward a photograph that had a ghost in it that did look like my mother on Christmas Day when we started with the haunting. But again, I don't give credit for, this haunting as being something that my mother created. I truly, in my heart, believe that this is something that she was probably able to keep away. I mean, a mother's love, hello. I don't think there's anything more fierce and powerful in the world.
Yeah.
So I think that, that is what helped keep this thing away. But when she left, it just, opened up the gates, because it's been terrorizing me ever since.
Tell us the story of the attack of the killer spoons that happened in that house, because that was entertaining and informative,
Oh my goodness. Yeah, this was just lovely. So, because the house is so terrifying for me and my siblings, we kind of made a pact among ourselves that, we wouldn't allow each other to be in the house alone. So, when I would come home from school, my older sister would sit on the porch until I would get home, and then we would go into the house together. So, this one day I came home and she wasn't on the porch. So I'm thinking, oh, gee, really, what a brave soul to go into the house. She must have really had to use the bathroom or something. I had no idea. So I came into the door. I'm calling out her name. I'm taking off my book bag and I'm looking around for her. And I hear something in the kitchen and just like a clanging sound. I'm like, oh, maybe she got hungry or something, and I'm still calling her name and I'm walking to the kitchen doorway. And the sounds of this clanging, of course, got louder as I came closer and closer to the kitchen. And I mean, the horror of what I saw, it was only the clanging of silverware that I was hearing with no outright source. The drawer that held, I just get goosebumps saying this one, the drawer that kept the silverware was kind of vibrating, and I saw it sliding open, and I watched the silverware start to rise up. And I mean, the best I could do right behind me was the bathroom door, the safety room, to go into to lock the door. And I spun around and I went to the bathroom door, and it was locked. I didn't know what was, who was in there, why it was locked. No clue. But right in front of me were the staircase to the second floor bathroom, and I just bolted up the stairs, ran into the bathroom, and locked the door. And all the while, I heard silverware clanging in the air behind me, and I just and I got into the bathroom, I locked the door, and I heard the silverware hitting the bathroom door as I was sitting in there. And I mean, I was absolutely petrified. There was no me getting close to hear what was going on because I could hear it just fine. I'm like, no, 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 this is not happening. This is not happening. I think I was all of 9 years old at the time. And I was so just, I just buried my face in my knees and just sat on the floor and just waiting, you know, like this has just got to stop. And then I heard a noise in the house and I didn't know, you know, what the heck, you know, I wasn't gonna move from the spot that I was in. And I thought I was hearing things, you know, and it was my dad calling my name and I just couldn't respond. And he comes up to the door and he's like, Heidi, are you in there? And I'm like, Dad, yeah, it's me, you know. And he's like, you know, I opened up the door. I'm like so hesitant. And he's like, why didn't you respond? And I was trying to tell him the silverware and everything that happened. And as I'm trying to explain to him, there was evidence behind him. There was a spoon on the floor behind him. And I'm like, look, look, there it is, there it is. And he's just like, really? Really?
I think you wrote in the book you weren't quite sure if it was really Dad that was outside the bathroom door or somebody trying to pretend something sounding like Dad to trick you into opening up.
Yeah, you know, honestly, you question yourself. I mean, being a kid, I mean, it's like, my gosh, you know what? You just don't know what's real anymore. You really don't.
Well, you know, kids have imaginations. I can remember some shreds of memory back that far where you're thinking about some monster in the closet or the monster under the bed. You see things that may or may not be there. And, you know, kids do imagine a much more dangerous world than exists. You're saying that the things that were happening to your family are far outside the bounds of something like that.
Oh, gosh, yeah. It was absolutely gut-wrenching and terrorizing and terrifying. What we experienced there, and it's hard to, you know, counsel oneself when you're a kid. You feel unbelieved by your parents, and so it was nice that I had my siblings to, you know, talk to in regard to what we're experiencing, how we were feeling, and you know what was going on. We didn't feel safe. We really didn't feel safe, and back then too, it was funny. Because a movie just wasn't a movie unless it was a haunted movie, a horror movie or something. It was kind of therapeutic for us that even if it wasn't real, that others knew of the possibilities of what some of us go through. So, I mean, it was so bizarre for us. And for the longest time, a movie just had to be a horror movie for me to feel at ease. Isn't that strange? What?
Yeah, you know, since then, you've been an investigator of these kinds of phenomena, and you've undoubtedly read articles about the connection between kids and what you'd call poltergeist-type activity, speculation that maybe somehow it's a psychic, something psychic that kids in that age range generate themselves. What do you think about that?
Oh, gosh, yeah, I've heard that, and I've had people suggest that potentially that's what I was up against. I was up against myself. I'm like, yeah, but I wasn't always around these things happen. So I don't think that was something that I was experiencing at the time. I do believe that some people have the ability to do odd things that not necessarily are so directly understood. I can say that I'm what some people might call an electric person. I have zapped many computers. I've zapped typewriters, word processors, even, you know, back in the day. And it's like, oh, my gosh, it's frustrating. Street lamps, you name it. But thank God it's gotten better over the years where it hasn't been like that. So, and my dad being a computer tech came in handy, let me tell you.
Well, I can relate to that electrical thing, and I'll share some stories with you at some point, not on the air, about that.
Awesome.
You started having dreams in which your mom or a form of your mom played a particular role, and then other members of the family started having the same dreams. When we come back, we're going to jump into those stories because they sort of lead to shadow people and eventually to Hat Man. Much more to come here with Heidi Hollis on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, if you're going to host a show about the Hat Man, you got to play this song. It's called Safety Dance, and of course, the group, Men Without Hats. We'll consider it kind of a talisman to protect us all as we delve into the story of the Hat Man. When we come back, Shadow People, how Heidi Hollis ended up investigating them, the experiences she had. Much more to come here on Coast to Coast. Heidi, this is sort of the point where it kind of gets serious for you and your sisters. You all start having this basically the same kind of dreams in which your mom appears, but it's not really your mom, and it's the vision is pretty frightening. And I can imagine at that age it must have been incredibly frightening. Tell us what was happening in the dreams and what your reaction was when you realized your sisters were having the same dreams.
Oh gosh, absolutely! Just the strangest thing happened. My parents, my stepmother, and my father. I did not know this, but one of the reasons why we moved from our old house that was haunted was because they didn't want to deal with the haunting anymore. So they literally built a brand new house, so no one had ever lived in it before. So we moved out to the suburbs and. It was a relief. I mean, it was like a new beginning. And you know, I mean, my siblings were like, "Oh gosh, you don't have to deal with this dark menace anymore." And this was about I was about 10 years old at the time. And almost immediately, I started having the most horrific nightmares, and it was nothing pleasant. I would, you know, see my mother, and I'm like, "Oh my gosh, Mom, it's so nice to see you." You know, I'm going towards her to go hug her, and you know, I pull back only to see this menacing thing with black eyes, always trying to kill me, choke me, chase me, and I can't even describe that kind of a feeling. It was evil. It was negative. It was not my mother. It was something masking. Masquerading as my mother. And I dealt with this from the age of 10 for probably 20 years, honestly. And it was ongoing. I was about 17 years old when one of my older sister, she called the house, and she'd already moved out, and she didn't sound good. I'm like, "What's going on?" You know, and she's like, "I'm just not sleeping well." I'm like, "Well, you know, why?" And she's like, "You know, I've just these nightmares. I can't take them anymore." I'm like, "What?" And like, "What kind of nightmares?" You know, and she said, "It's Mom. She has black eyes." And I'm like, "OMG." And probably a week earlier, my younger sister had told me the same thing. And I'm like, "Do you guys realize we are all dreaming the same dreams?" I mean, some of them were verbatim, others were not, but the same theme was consistent. And I don't know why that was happening, what was going on, but the feeling was one that, you know, it wasn't something that we wanted to talk about, because you know, who wants to, you know, share that, you know, I have these dreams of moms killing me, you know. So we kept it to ourselves and kind of dealt with it, but I didn't know what to do about it. And I was happy when they dissipated, and this is I have got a big sense of humor, so I have to have a good time with this stuff. Otherwise, I think I'd go a little nuts.
I got you. Yeah. Tell me this. When did you first, how old were you when you started seeing these shadow people images? I mean, I'm sure that's not what you called them right off the bat, but eventually we're to call them.
You know, I was about 20, maybe 19, 20 years old when I saw the first one following a friend of mine. I personally did not deal with these things outright in my childhood, thank God. This is so peculiar and so strange. It was broad daylight. I was living down in Iowa for a summer, and my friend, I was staying at her house. I was staying on the second floor in an attic like that was partially done. And she wanted to go to her uncle's house. We went to go walk over to her uncle's house. And again, broad daylight, walking along this path that had some trees. And I saw something out of my peripheral vision. And I'm like, "What?" You know, I saw this black shadowy thing go from a bush to a tree. And I'm like, "I just didn't see that." Continue to walk along. And I saw it again. And it seemed to be following us all the way to her uncle's house. And I mean, I was just I didn't even know what to think about what it was that I was seeing. So we get to her uncle's house. A little time later, we go to walk back to her house, and the darn thing followed us all the way back. And by that time, when we reached her house, I was like just beside myself. And I'm like, look, I don't know what I'm seeing here, but I just saw the craziest thing following us. And I grabbed a piece of paper, and I drew what I call the head and shoulder shadow person, which is like this big, hulking, wide creature that looks like kind of like a man with its head directly connected to its shoulders. No neck to be seen, no legs. Pretty tall, maybe, you know, anywhere from 8 to 10 feet tall. And I draw this thing, and I show it to my friend. I think, you know, she's totally going to, you know, laugh at me or something. And so I show it to her, and she just looks at it and goes, oh, that thing. Yeah, I don't know what it is. It's been following me since I was a kid. Hey, Dad, look, you know, Heidi saw the guy. And he goes, oh, is he back, huh? And I'm like, huh? You know, what's going on here? I mean, just the craziest scenario for me. And a short time later, I needed to go up to the second floor to get something from my room. I did not turn the lights on because it was still daylight. And the first room that you go into, there are no windows, but my room had the low windows that had plenty of light coming in. So I could see just fine. I go in, I grab what I needed to, and I go to turn to get out of the room when this thing was standing there blocking my way out of the room. And the fear that hits a person when you see such a thing, that's just out of things that nightmares are made of. I was nearly paralyzed with fear, and this thing was literally hulking over me to the point of, I felt like a strange thing to say, that you could feel this thing wanted to rip my throat out if it could. It hated me. It hated that I saw it. And I got the message loud and clear. And, you know, I don't know what came over me. I don't know how I knew to do what I did. But I knew if I ran, it was going to get me. I knew if I swung at this thing, it was going to get me. I mean, this thing was within touching distance. And I just kind of took a deep breath and kind of just, you know, was saying a prayer to myself and just walked slowly through this thing and steadily pacing myself to get to the stairs. And I mean, that second room, pitch black, and it's huge. And I just knew, just keep your pace, Heidi. Just keep your pace. And I mean, I could feel this thing just breathing practically on my neck and just following me all the way. I got to the top of the stairs, and it was as if my legs were just jello. Like, I just couldn't walk. And I kind of fumbled down and thudded at the bottom of the stairs. And my friend, you know, heard me fumbling down the stairs and comes out and it's like, whoa, you know, what's going on here, Heidi? I'm like, and I could barely speak. And I'm like, it's upstairs, you know, so I could get out. And I mean, this thing was upset. It was very upset. And I've now learned over the years that these shadow beings, they do not like to be seen. And they often will confront a person if you spot them out when they're not wanting to be spotted out. So this was a typical response of them.
What about the idea that it's a function of peripheral vision, or in some cases, you know, sleep paralysis has been used to explain all kinds of things away, alien abductions and poltergeists and things of that sort. I'm sure at least some of those, some cases of what we would call paranormal, it can be explained that way. But you're talking about something else, right? For shadow people and for Hat Man.
Oh, gosh, yeah. You know, the naysayers that say sleep paralysis this and sleep paralysis that, I'm like, you'll have a chance to get your turn with these things, because I'm not saying that there's just a possibility you'll experience one of these things at some point. It's a threat that they will come at some point. So the naysayers will change their tune at some point. So I'm not really that concerned about what they say, but these things, they'll come in the daylight. They don't care. They prefer not to. They like to be hidden, because if you can see your enemy coming, you can protect yourself. But no, they come like a thief in the night, most oftentimes, so they can have the upper hand. And it's such a low down dirty trick of a thing. You know, it's like, you look, if you're as big and bad as you're purporting to be, come to me as I am. You know, it's not something that they commonly do, unless they feel threatened. I think they're often able to read, you know, a person and what they might do with what it is that they've seen and seeing these creatures. So, but no, sleep paralysis, no way. Not these things. Not with the glowing red eyes, leaning over, choking a person, slamming them up and down on the bed. No.
Since you've talked about this publicly, written about shadow people, I think because of your radio show and appearing on Coast, you've had so much input about shadow people, and we'll come back to that a little bit later as part of a litany of what you'd call paranormal experiences. But this also leads you to Hat Man. What's the first Hat Man sighting you had, and what did you think it was? What did you think it was a shadow person the first time you saw it? Same thing?
You know, oddly enough, George, I didn't experience seeing him personally until I started writing the book. Now,
That's
he's been
creepy.
seen behind me. He's been seen around me. He's been seen by family and friends, coworkers, you name it. Everything and everybody. But that man did not come my way. My first encounter of a sort with him happened with my college roommate, Samantha, and she and I shared an apartment, and my goodness, this girl, often, if we had so many odd things that went on in this apartment, it was just bizarre. And her way of dealing with most of it was screaming. And it was always in the middle of the night, always like to the point where I'm like, come on, you know, just, you know, deal with it. I'm dealing with it over here, you know, type of thing. But this one night, I was certain someone broke in and was murdering her. She screamed like the death screams of the movies, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what is going on? She screamed again, and I'm like, oh, you know, as long and as loud as she possibly could. And by that time, I'm like bolting. I'm like, something's wrong, something's wrong. In her bedroom, there was a door that led out to like the patio, so I was like, you know, somebody might have got in there. I don't know. So I run to her room. I bust open the door. I'm like, you know, panting. I'm like, what's going on? And I mean, she is just pushed into the furthest corner that she possibly can be in and crouched. And she's pointing and she's going, the man, the man. I'm like, what man, what man? You know, I'm running around. I'm like, oh my God, I'm making sure the door is locked. I'm like looking at the windows. I'm like, you know, everything's secured. I'm like, well, where'd he go? Where'd he go? And she's just like, no. You know, when she finally could speak, she's like, he disappeared when you came in. I'm like, disappeared? I'm like, oh, that's bizarre, you know. And she's a great artist, and she went on to draw what this man looked like. And she drew a three-piece suit, goatee on his, a very pointed chin. He wore a trench coat. And he also had a gold chained watch on his hip and a flat gaucho hat, like kind of like Zorro's hat. And I believe he had the black solid eyes that she saw. And I was just like, you know, but she was, you know, he was in the shadows. And I'm like, shadows? I'm like, oh, must be another form these shadow people must take, is what I'm assuming. I hadn't encountered him. And, you know, she kept telling me, you know, he was so real, Heidi. He was so real. He was right here. And I'm like, but I hadn't experienced him. I really didn't know what to think of him. And, but upon, you know, kind of gathering my first book, The Secret War, and finally placing the different images of shadow people on my website, I had called this Hat Man the Hat Man Shadow, you know, just another form, because they could take on the form of, what I call the head and shoulder shadow, a shadow cloud, you know, shadow streak and whatnot. And I just assumed that's what he was. And almost immediately, though, when that image went up, the emails changed. The responses to his image alone was different. It was, I know this guy. You know, I've known him since I was a kid. He still visits me. I'm like, what? You know, it wasn't like like, I spotted this guy. It was, he talks to me. He knows me, you know. I'd get chills just thinking about it.
Your youngest sister, Keisha, very close to you,
has
an experience, and she draws a picture. I can only imagine the goosebumps she got when she shows you this picture. Tell us that story.
Oh, gosh. So I was so excited. You know, I just got my I got my website up of the different images, you know, because I finally put the images up once I got the Secret War book published. I wrote the book in 97. I distributed it around to different authors and publishers and all over the place, and finally got it published in 01, though I think it got leaked a little bit here and there, but whatever. I was happy, and I'm like, you know, my sister comes over unexpected. Keisha does, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to show you my new website. You know, I'm so excited. She's like, Heidi, I need to talk to you about something. I'm like, okay, yeah, but look. And she's like, yeah, but Heidi, something really weird happened to me. And I pull up my website. The Hatman shadow guy pops up on my website, and she just shrieks, that's him. You know, just pointing. I'm like, what? That's him? What are you talking about? She's like, that's the guy. That's what I saw. And I'm like, you know, slow down, you know, like I wasn't piecing together what she was talking about. I just put this book out, and she just had this happen to her. I mean, literally, probably days apart. I don't think that was a mistake. And what she told me was, she doesn't like talking about it, but I get tickled by, especially my siblings. We've been tortured for so long with haunted stuff. I find it hilarious. They get still scared a lot, but anyways. But she went to wash her laundry, and she went to go to get her clothes out of the dryer. And she told me, I went to down the stairs, and I'm at the bottom step, and I didn't step all the way down. I look over to the dryer, which is pushed up against the wall, and she's like, Heidi, this man with a hat comes, you know, leaning over from behind the dryer, and she's like, he was huge. And I'm like, she said, Heidi, I don't believe I touched the stair on the way up. She said she passed her daughter up, ran out screaming. Her daughter didn't know what was going on, ran out following her screaming too. And I'm like, what? You know, what is going on? It's just so strange. And then she tells me, I think it was the next day or something, she was sitting in her car, and she looked in her rearview mirror, and he was in the back seat, glowing red eyes. That's another form he likes to. He loves to show his red glowing eyes, which I don't understand. But I think it's to get some respect or of fear. I don't know. But she said she just stopped the car, jumped out, and danced around like, this just did not happen to me. And still, at that time, I was not getting what he was exactly. I knew he was different. I knew that he was making a point of going after certain people and also letting people know that he was no shadow person. He wore the outfit that he did so you would recognize who he is, and you know, why do it? Why else? He could change into any form, apparently, but no, he wants people to know that he's showing up everywhere, worldwide. It doesn't matter your religion, your faith, where you're located. He can and he will show up, and it's a disturbing pattern.
You know, we haven't. We're going to take a break here in about a minute, but. As the course of the next hour, we'll talk about other experiences you've had, everything from shadow people to UFO and alien type encounters, poltergeist type activity, and then this hat guy. But you know, we don't know what this thing really looks like, as you just noted. He can assume any kind of shape he wants, and maybe that's all the same thing, just in different form. We'll talk about that in the next segment, and also about the Slender Man story that emerged last year, and whether you think there's any kind of a connection to that. Shadow People is the name of the tune. Tom Petty from his new album, Hypnotic Eye. It's a great album. Check it out. We'll be right back with more Coast to Coast AM.